Coming to you from the Grey Moon Studios just outside Atlanta, Georgia, for a third season. This is Trice Talk, a conservative political and social issue podcast that's not just for conservatives. We don't try to tell you what to think. We just want to see if you're paying attention. For the next hour and a half, we hope to stimulate, motivate, aggravate, and enlighten you. Now, here's your host, a guy that's been paying attention since Ronald Reagan beat Jimmy Carter in 79, Grey Moon himself, Donald Wayne.
It's Saturday night, Trice Talk, and I am your host, Donald Wayne, for a February the 11th, 2023 is what I'm trying to say, the night before the 57th Super Bowl game, if you can believe that. I thought I would add a little rhythm to the intro tonight. I always want to do a little music after the intro by the MC, but I just never found anything that really inspires me. Oh, of course, there's a lot of music out there I could use. But anyway, I was listening to that one earlier today, and I said, I'm going to use that for, I especially love the intro. It really kind of, you know, if you're sitting still, it kind of makes you move around just a little bit. But I'm wondering if anybody recognizes that song, and you might have heard just a few words of the lyrics to the song, and that might have given it away a little bit, but I'll give you a second there to think of it. And do you know what it is? It's Let It Whip by the what band? What group? The Dazz Band. I'm sure somebody said that somewhere under their breath. Anyway, if you can believe it, two, besides the fact that this is the 57th Super Bowl coming up, that song, Let It Whip, came out in 1982. And that was the Dazz Band's biggest hit, actually, was Let It Whip. And it peaked at number one on the rhythm and blues chart for, this is kind of weird, five non-consecutive weeks. I guess it was in and out of the number one spot for a few weeks, but doesn't say how long. It just says for five non-consecutive weeks. So, you know, that's pretty good. And since I am in a musical mood tonight, I'm actually going to do another one here. This is not a musical show. This is actually a politics and social issues show, but I like to do something different sometimes, just because I'm so tired of having to talk about these idiots in Washington, D.C., even though I want to. I need a little diversion, and tonight I got a little diversion, and that was the first one, Whip It. See if you know the second one. Now, this one comes in and gives it away real quick, so give yourself maybe 4 or 5 seconds and see if you can name the song, and if you can't, well, you know, it's no fair after it starts. All right, let's see if we can do that. I have to. All right, here we go. Surely everybody knows this one. We'll All right. I can't go any further with that because if I do, you'll hear the name of the song. So name that song. Can you name it in five notes or four notes or three notes or whatever that show was where the people had to name the song? Well, I can name it in two notes. There's some songs actually I can name in a couple of notes, but, and I could probably name that one pretty quick too, if I could remember the name of it. So anybody got it yet? It is You Dropped a Bomb on Me, and see if you know the name of the band. Okay. See, actually, I could have let it go on a little bit further the first time, but of course, You Dropped a Bomb on Me is the name of the song. Anybody know the name of the group? Give you a couple of seconds there. And if it hadn't come to you already, it's the Gap Band. The Gap Band. I think it sounds a little bit like the same group that did Let It Whip, but maybe not the lead vocal, I don't know, but still kind of along that line. But that song actually reached number two. I don't think it ever reached number one. It reached number two on the Billboard Rhythm and Blues charts. Golly, what year was that? Oh, still 1982. It was still 1982. So that seemed to be the year for those types of songs. It also reached number it reached number 39 on the dance charts and number 31 on the Billboard Hot 100. So, I bet you didn't think you're going to hear this crap when you tuned in to Trash Talk tonight, did you? And since I'm in that mood, not talking about politics for the moment, although you could consider this social interest, I think, music. But just a little interesting, I think it's interesting info about this song, as I was really only trying to find out what year it came out, because I get this stuff on Spotify, but so I said, what year did this one come out? And when I did that, then it started giving me this other information, and I thought I would share just a little bit of that with you, especially if you remember was it the Gap Band? Started to say the Daz Band again. But anyway, this song, in the aftermath of the September 11th, 2001 attacks, was one of those named on the 2001 Clear Channel Memorandum of Lyrically Questionable Songs. Now, I'm not really sure what the significance is here, unless maybe you look at it in the perspective of, well, at that particular time, we were, when we started dropping bombs in Iraq and so forth, maybe playing a song on the air talking about you dropped a bomb on me probably might upset a few people. I don't know. But anyway, it was on a list. Maybe it's a no playlist for a while. Of course, they play it now. But, and, you know, since I'm at it already talking about that song, just a few more facts about this that I found interesting. I Dropped a Bomb on You is featured in the 2004 video game Grand Theft Auto, San Andreas on the Radio Bounce FM. I don't know what that means. Is it Grand Theft Auto San Andreas? Is that a version of Grand Theft Auto? I don't know. I think I played the game when it first came out. God knows what year that was, but I do remember playing it some, but I don't really remember any music with it. So, but they featured this song in that particular version of Grand Theft Auto. Doesn't say what year. This song is also featured in a Walmart Christmas holiday television commercial that aired in 2017. Now, that wasn't, what, 5 years ago, I guess now? Maybe going on six this October. 6 years ago, but I do not remember that. Of course, I don't watch a lot of commercials anyway, but for some reason, that song was featured in a Walmart commercial. Let's see. And last little, I think it's the last, nope, two more ditties. This song is frequently played at sporting events. And I think I have actually heard it in the background of some sporting events. But for example, it's played at the San Francisco Giants games, Houston Astros games, Miami Marlins games, and Oklahoma State University Cowboy home games. When a player from the home team hits a home run. So obviously people don't have a problem playing that song about dropping a bomb anymore. And the last little ditty here I think I have, its genre is considered synth funk post-disco, which is what a lot of boogie synth funk or electro funk is considered to be. And try saying that several times when your lips are trying to stick together. Anyway, what the hell is post-disco? I wasn't really, I mean, I guess obviously it's after disco, but I didn't know they named a genre of music after post-disco. I guess that was a period where folks just lived and breathed disco, couldn't give it up completely, you know? Disco died pretty quick, and I guess they had to have something come back and take its place. But disco, I mean, is anybody listening to this podcast remember disco? Now, I know you've heard some played, if you listen to oldie stuff, you've heard disco, but do you really remember disco? I think one of the biggest disco hits that I ever heard was this one. Well, I think everybody knows the Bee Gees. But when I was looking up that song to see, you know, again, what year that kind of came out, and I was looking up Staying Alive, and there was actually four or five songs titled Staying Alive. Now, some of them had a little add-on to it. So I'm gonna hit a couple more here while, I'm in this musical mood. But here's another version of Staying Alive I've never heard. That's by the Rose Beat. It kind of sounds a little bit familiar, but if I heard it, I didn't hear it well enough to remember who did it. So that was another version of Staying Alive. Here's one. Let's see what this does. Oh, that one's definitely funky.
Now you can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. Music loud and women swarm, I've been kicking around since I was born. Now it's all right, it's okay, you may look.
That one's by Electro Deluxe. I have no idea who that is. But that's Staying Alive by Electro Deluxe. Anyway, I didn't realize there was so many versions, and there's more than I'm not going to play here. But look it up sometimes if you like the original version of Staying Alive and you like like to hear some other versions of it. Now, me personally, I was actually happy to see the disco era disappear, you know, mainly because I could not disco to save my life. I mean, I tried it one time at a club here in Atlanta. I actually hadn't lived here, but maybe about a year, I think. I think it was back in 1978. I went to this club on the north side of town with a friend and who encouraged me to get out there on the dance floor. And I lasted about 3 minutes and I got my rhythmless ass off that dance floor quickly because, you know, people all around me were doing dirty dancing moves. You know, they were like part of a dance troupe, arms flying, people jumping up in the air, sliding across the floor between each other's legs and twirling and jumping and leaping. And I was a young guy at that time. Still. And, I just didn't have enough liquor in me to even pretend that I could do what they were doing on the dance floor. So, that was the one and only time that I tried to do disco. And I said, that's it. I'll watch a little of it. I actually like Saturday Night Fever. A lot of people give John Travolta a hard time, because he was kind of doing some funky movies. He did Urban Cowboy, and then he did, or maybe he did Saturday Night Fever first and then Urban Cowboy. He really got more criticism at Urban Cowboy, but he was doing a different kind of dancing there. But the guy definitely has some rhythm. He could cut a rug on the dance floor. But I actually never realized that disco was technically born way back in 1970. I thought disco was something that just flared up there in the late 70s and then just flamed out and disappeared. But apparently a guy named David Mandusco opened the Loft in New York City in 1970. And evidently that was some music that they premiered there at his club at the Loft. I think you've probably seen the Loft in the news a few times over the years. But according to socialdance.stanford.edu, I actually did research on some of this. Let's see, when the disco movement peaked in 1978-79, that was about the time I was trying to make a fool of myself, the demographic was predominantly white, heterosexual, urban, and suburban middle-class people, except for me. Well, maybe that was what was wrong, because I certainly wasn't middle-class in 1979. Not at the money I was making. But anyway, then according to history.com, it says, but for all of its decadence and overexposure, disco didn't quite die a natural death by collapsing under its own weight. Instead, it was killed by public backlash that reached its peak on July the 12th, 1979, when the infamous Disco Demolition Night at Chicago's Kaminsky Park. I don't know if there's any of you people listening that are from Chicago and know anything about Kaminsky's Park and Disco Demolition Night, but that was back in 1979. So, you know, that was quite some time ago. But I had to look at that a little bit because, you know, what one event at a baseball park could actually be the death or considered to be the death of disco. So I looked that up and it says this was an event that was dreamed up by two popular local DJs at that time. And it was also embraced by the White Sox, the Chicago White Sox management team. It was really intended to be an event celebrating the destruction of disco. What they had done is the organizers offered anyone 98-cent discount tickets who brought a disco record to the park that then would be dumped into an explosive rigged dumpster in the park or outside the park, I guess I should say. We wouldn't have it in the park. So anyway, this is a stunt, a publicity stunt to get people to come out to the ball game. it was actually a doubleheader that night, and I think they were trying to drum up enough people to attend both games. But the organizers only anticipated about 5,000 more fans that would show up because of this discount ticket, bring your disco record with you kind of event. But and they averaged about 15,000 people normally for these games at Kaminsky Park. But what they got instead was a raucous sellout crowd of 40,000 inside the park, and an even more rowdy crowd that was outside the park, which they estimated to be another 40,000 people. So, and one of the biggest failings these organizers, one of the things they failed to do, I should say, was collect all the disco records of the attendees that came. So it doesn't say what percentage of these people actually brought disco records with them, but if they had a crowd of 40,000 on the inside, you know, at least 25,000 people had to be bringing records with them based on their requirements. So, but the article goes on to say those uncollected records would later on, during the activities become dangerous projectiles in the park when the crowd got out of control. And the article goes on to say what followed was utter chaos as fans by the thousands stormed the field and began to wreak havoc, shimmying up the foul poles, tearing up the grass, and lighting vinyl bonfires on the diamond while the stadium scoreboard implored them to return to their seats. The conditions were judged too dangerous for the scheduled second game to actually even begin. And the Detroit Tigers were awarded a win by forfeiture. So the Chicago White Sox had to forfeit the game, I guess, because they're the ones that sponsored the event. But so that's listed as a technical, as the technical, that's listed as the official death of disco, or death blow to disco, was what happened at that field. And then I guess for whatever reason, people associated all that went on with disco. I just thought people got tired of the exhausting dance routines, you know, because I mean, it is exhausting to do disco or any kind of dance like that, where it's a routine kind of thing. But so, I hope you enjoy that little retro music and history lesson. It was a whim. What can I say? It wasn't anything that I actually, well, I had to prepare it, obviously, but it wasn't something that I would normally do. But Saturday night, I just felt like a little music. it's just when I start playing music at all, I just get in kind of a mode where I could sit here and play music for a couple of hours. Actually, if they would let me record a show and do songs, I would do those at least once a week. But we're not allowed to do that. You can't have a radio style show like this unless somebody's getting money from you for using their music. You know, I've always kind of envied, since we're on Podbeam, this one's being posted on Podbeam. I've always kind of envied the old man podcast guy, you know, the old man. And because he used to do a Friday night music show on Podbeam. I don't know if he still does it or not. Honestly, my Friday nights are not the way they used to be. I used to catch it occasionally. And it sounded like a lot of fun. I think similarly, I love music, and I could sit there and do what he does and play music and talk about the different artists and so forth. That would be a fun thing to do. But, of course you have to do a live show because you can't record these things and then post them. People have to listen to them live, and then they have, you know, they just have to go away. So there's no evidence, more or less. But anyway, he would pick different genres of music to play every Friday night. And I think he would actually do a couple of times. Sometimes he would do maybe one on a Sunday night. I don't know. I never caught a Sunday night, but I love music and I could do that. But, you know, that's his kind of thing. And, I certainly, he does a good job with it. So, but it's a fun thing. I love music and I'd love to play around with it. Anyway, of course, that's not the overall purpose of TriStalk, to play music. I wish I could have a TriStalk music show, maybe. I probably have to call it something else, but I just like it because I can have fun with it sometimes. There were several times last season that Dennis Lee and I would do little contest kind of things with songs, and he would play some and I would play some, try to guess what they are, name of the band and so forth. And Dennis Lee was actually, he had a better memory for those kind of things. I can remember music back, you know, 60 years, but I can't always recall the name of the artist quick enough to actually play Trivia Pursuit or anything like that. So that's my musical intro for tonight. And it was a long intro at that. So being that it's Saturday night, let's see, we've probably got 18 hours, maybe 19 hours until the Super Bowl, something like that. Of course, by the time you hear this, I mean, maybe Super Bowl's already been played. Depends on when you listen. But right now, it's about, let's say, 18 hours until the Super Bowl kickoff, which airs tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. And, of course, you know the game is between Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's really everybody that I've heard talk about it. Of course, I know it's their job to promote these games. They want people to watch them. They need people to watch them. But it's really, by some of the experts, supposed to be one of the better Super Bowl games that we've had in recent years. And of course, you also know, if you've listened to me already this year, or if you've listened to season two in the past, you know that I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, and I'm not a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles. Never have been. Although I do like the way they're played up in some of the movies sometimes when they're used. But since my Cowboys are not in the Super Bowl this year, I'm compelled to say that I'm going to pull for the Eagles, because the Eagles have actually four players on their team this year that played at Alabama. I don't know if you're Philadelphia fans, you probably know that, but if you're not, or you don't care about football at all, you don't know it. But Jalen Hurts is the quarterback for the Eagles, I think, because the I won't call it the first string, but the regular quarterback got hurt, and Jalen Hurts came in and has done real well. Well, they're in the Super Bowl, so he must have. But he was a standout at Alabama, and so he seemed like a likable guy and somebody that I really like to see do well and win this Super Bowl. I think based on his performance at Alabama and all the nice things that people would say about the kind of person he is, I would like to see a nice person win the Super Bowl. I don't know whether the other quarterback is a nice person or not. I assume that he is, but I'm still going for the Eagles. Also, Devonta Smith is there, and he's a wide receiver. He's an Alabama player, ex-Alabama player. Landon Dickerson, an offensive guard, Alabama. And then Josh Job is also there from Alabama, and he's a cornerback. So, you know, even if it was just Jalen Hurts, I would still be pulling for Philadelphia. As long as Alabama's not in there, I doubt if we'll ever see that game. But as long as Dallas isn't in there, I'm going to go for Philadelphia. You know, of course, besides the game, there are the famous Super Bowl commercials, which, from everything I read, there's going to be about 70 of them this year, 70 ads. And actually, some of them have already been premiering on primetime TV and various on various stations. Of course, since the only thing I pretty much watch is Fox and the Weather Channel, I do watch the Weather Channel sometimes. I don't even watch local news. I haven't watched local news in 6 or 7 years. But some of them already premiered, and you know, just to give you a taste and build up to the Super Bowl. But according to the Wall Street Journal, the 2023 Super Bowl ads will feature booze, betting, and Jesus. That's quite a spread. I have seen the story on the commercial about Jesus, and there's mixed emotions about that across the board. But that should be interesting. And I think it's neat. I think Christian groups have gotten together and raised enough money that they want to put that message on one of the biggest audience draws of the year. So more power to them. And I'm surprised I haven't heard more liberal complaining about that, or the atheist complaining about it. But, you know, if they're buying commercial time, I don't know how you can. I'm sure there'll be some other weird stuff on there. Not that the Jesus thing is weird, but there'll be some weird commercials on there. I'm almost certain. Also, the companies are going to have to spend big bucks this year to advertise on the Super Bowl. According to Ad Age, a 30-second spot will cost companies a record $7 million. 30 seconds of airtime will cost them $7 million. And that's up from $6.5 million last year. So if you run several, I don't know how many times, a 30-second spot will cost you $7 million. I don't know if you can run that more than once, or it costs you $7 million every time they run it. That's it didn't say that in the article. Here's a fact that I was not aware of. Halftime performers aren't paid to perform at the Super Bowl. Did you know that? I don't know why I always assumed that they had to get paid. I don't know. It's hard to believe that you could get some of the people to go in there and perform that have performed in the past. Although, you know, some people could say, well, some of those old ass groups I'm drawing a blank. All of a sudden even the Rolling Stones, you know, a lot of people complained about who wants to watch a bunch of 70-year-old men jumping up and down around on the stage. But, so they didn't get paid. But here's what it says. Per league policy, the NFL covers all costs related to the production of the halftime show, but the talent doesn't take home a paycheck. Although the NFL covers all costs related to the production of the halftime show, but the talent doesn't take home a paycheck. Of course, the NFL also foots the bills for their travel expenses, and probably food and everything else. So that's amazing. So for all you Rihanna fans out there, you better appreciate her doing the show for you guys tomorrow night, because she isn't getting paid 1 cent for her halftime appearance. Of course, you know, she's estimated to be worth $1.4 billion. So she can probably afford to do this gig for free. So good for her. So I'm still playing here. All right. I apologize if this isn't what you tuned in for, is to hear me joke around and give you a bunch of facts about things that aren't political, God forbid. But since I'm talking about the Super Bowl, and I'm in a music mode, you already know that, I was looking on Spotify to see if there were any songs that had the word Super Bowl in them. And I actually found four of those, believe it or not. I think I remember one. But let me see. I think I'm going to go ahead and play this first one before I even talk about it, because I want to. All right. Here's the first song that I found that had Super Bowl in the title, and it's actually called Super Bowl Shuffle. So some of you may be familiar with that. If you can guess who did this. Chefing on down, doing it for you. We're so bad, we know we're good. Blowing your mind like we knew we would. You know we're just strutting for fun. Strutting our stuff for everyone. We're not here to start no trouble. We're just hitching to the Super Bowl shuffle.
Where they call me sweetness and I like to dance. Running the ball is like making romance. We had the goal since training camp to give Chicago a Super Bowl chance. Now we're not doing this because we're greedy. The Bears are doing it to feed the needy. We didn't come here to look for trouble. We just come here to do the Super Bowl shuffle. They call me Speedy.
So I guess I gave it away, right? Chicago Bears. I like I said, I kind of vaguely remember when this thing came out because it was a big, big thing on the radio and even on TV. And that was back when I was watching the local news, and they would, of course, in the sports segment, they would always cover this kind of stuff. But not being a Chicago Bears fan, I didn't watch the Super Bowl that year, which was 1985, by the way. But the Chicago Bears football team, the entire team, I understand, did this song in 1985, and they actually had it recorded and put it out on a label. I don't think I have the name of the label here. I don't see it. But it was credited as the Chicago Bears Shuffling Crew. This thing peaked at number 41 on Billboard's Hot 100 chart, which that's not bad for a song recorded by by a football team. But it also earned a Grammy nomination for Best R&B Performance by a Duo or Group with Vocals in 1987. So it took it a couple more years before it got a Grammy nomination. I imagine it got played every year there for several years. But Jim McMahon, which was the quarterback, Otis Wilson, Willie Gault, Richard Dent were among the players who had solo spots in the video. They would focus on each one of these players, and they would have their own lines, do a little rap lines, I guess you would say. But you can catch that video on YouTube if you're interested. It's kind of cute. I mean, it's, you know, it's not it's not something you'd go probably pay somebody unless you're doing it for the charity. There's that thunderbolt lightning stuff again. But anyway, I thought it was cute. I thought I would share that with you. But the next one. Some of these I have to be careful with too, because they're not, some of them are explicit, but I think I've got it figured out where that kicks in. But the next one is called Super Bowl by Young Boy Never Broke Again. Never heard of him. This song has nothing to do with the football game at all, but it has the name in it. So I thought I would play the silly thing just because it says Super Bowl. Let me see if I can find. Okay. That's not bad. Kind of starts out a little mellow.
Hey. Your body, your smile, it be everything. I should make you everything. I should buy a wedding ring for my tango. You should bet on me, eyes keep them set on me. Yeah, you choose, you don't decide on me. You could count on me. Yeah, round I go. Heaven, you make me feel like I want to.
And that one actually, I think, was only for a couple of years ago, I believe. I think maybe 2020. I think it was, I didn't actually make a note of it, but I think it came out in 2020. So I actually kind of like that one. And that one I don't believe is explicit, but that's Super Bowl by Young Boy Never Broke Again. So I hope he can keep that up. Let's see. We have another one here. This one's called the Super Bowl Trophy by Cal Scrubby. I don't know. I have no idea who that is, but, again, it has nothing to do with the Super Bowl event, nothing to do with football. Now this one is explicit, so I think I know where I have to cut it off, but if I miss it, I think it's kind of garbled. So I don't know that you'd understand it anyway, but, here is Super Bowl Trophy by Cal Scrubby. Well, I say it is.
You ain't really fucking with me. Keep two hands on it.
Yeah, round, round, Cincy. In that old Cadillac, swing like Griffey. In the 25, doing 50. Gas in my lung, but the tank on empty. Gotta fill it up like a stat sheet, speeding like a track meet. In the backseat, too many milligrams. I don't give a damn. This is not a flex, boy. I'm trying to get bands like.
Okay. That's as far as I'm going to go with that one. I'm not quite sure exactly where the other one kicks in, but that's Super Bowl Trophy by Cal Scrubby. I'm sure some of you probably have heard that one before. It's not bad. Even with explicit stuff in there, it's not too bad. Of course, I see on Spotify all the time. It says that a particular song has explicit lyrics, and I've listened to some of these all the way through, and I'm like, where was it? Well, maybe I didn't understand the words, or maybe the words that they were calling explicit were something that I had no idea what it meant in the first place. But sometimes you just can't understand what they're saying this explicit, which is probably a good thing, because some of these things actually are good songs if they just wouldn't put certain things in there that, you know, make it hard for just anybody to listen to. All right, let's see. I think I have one more here. Has Super Bowl in the title. I know I said there's four, but I think one of them I'm not going to play. But this one says Super Bowl Sunday, but that's spelled Sundae. So we obviously know that it's not talking about Super Bowl, but it's by someone called Ozomatli, I think. I mean, I'd be surprised if any of you are familiar with this one. I'm going to play a little bit more of this particular song because it starts out, you know, doing one thing and then it jumps into something else. It kind of surprises you. So I'm going to play just a little bit more of this one. I think it says, now this one's not supposed to be explicit, so I'm safe. But here's Super Bowl Sunday. And I promise you, it's not a Beatles song. A Ravi Shankar. Now we're moving. Stay with me.
Decibel peaks be my ritual. One condition, though, we're laying all like a municipal. Lyrics and ritual, we're puffing boo to get your boo. And I'ma do the opposite of peace and go to war. So go prepare your balls for the floor show. Every more so, I'm your.
All right, that's all I'm going to do with that one. I had to let it go, and I just thought that segue was interesting. I almost didn't listen to it that far the first time. I'm thinking, okay, what? And the Ravi Shankar is this doing? And then you probably, none of you out there probably even know who Ravi Shankar is. But it actually moved into this. Now, I haven't heard the whole song. But if you want to hear that one, it's Super Bowl Sunday, spelled S-U-N-D-A-E. And it's by O-Z-O-M-A-T-L-I. Maybe some of you know who it is. I would be surprised. All right, that's all I'm going to subject you guys to tonight. I've done over half of the show, and I haven't done anything political yet. So, which maybe for some of you is a good thing. But let me inject something political in here. This one is a good segue because we're talking about the Super Bowl. When I first started gathering notes about tonight's podcast, the news was that what I'd read or heard was that Joe Biden was not going to give Fox News an interview right before the Super Bowl, you know, which that would probably not surprise anybody because, you know, Joe Biden is not well talked about on Fox News. By most people, there's some that come in there and defend him sometimes. And actually, some of the people that don't really like him do tend to say something nice about him sometimes if he actually stumbles and does something that's beneficial. But anyway, so the word on the street was that Joe Biden is not going to do the traditional before the Super Bowl game interview with Fox. But shortly after that, I saw another update, and it said that, let's see, I think it was a Fox story by Brett Samuels, that Biden is scheduled to sit down with Fox Soul and do an interview before the Super Bowl. I didn't know there was a Fox Soul. That was news to me. I had no idea who it was. But a Fox Corporation spokesman said in a statement, Fox Soul looks forward to interviewing the president for Super Bowl Sunday. Fox Soul is a network and live streaming service that caters its content to Black Americans. It launched in January of 2020. So, all right. So, I guess somehow or another, you know, Joe Biden is more comfortable doing the interview now on Fox Soul than he would be just the standard Fox where you have all of the haters of Joe Biden on there. So, you know, at least he's doing it. At least he's done. But, you know, it's still in the Fox family. So, you know, I think both sides should be happy. But Brett Baer of Fox News said every year, traditionally, the network covering the Super Bowl gets an interview with the President of the United States. Presidents have typically done interviews with a network airing before the Super Bowl, which is watched by millions of viewers, dating back to 2002. actually, I didn't really know when it started, but Biden in the past 2 years did interviews with CBS and NBC when they were covering the Super Bowl. But of course, then, you know, they're Democrat-loving networks. And so that only makes sense. But, you know, he was hesitant about doing it on Fox this year, maybe for punishment, you know, maybe for Peter Ducey asking all those negative questions in the White House briefings every day that he's in there. But, you know, at least now he's agreeing to do it. Now, and saying that, I read that Donald Trump skipped an interview with NBC in 2018, which was not a surprise either, because Donald Trump did not like any of the mainstream media. So, but I'm a little disappointed that he didn't do it, because that would have been a good way to throw it back in their face. But, you know, he was the president and he chose not to do it. So if Joe Biden had not done that with Fox this year, I'm sure the word on the street would be, well, Donald Trump didn't do the interview with NBC in 2018, so why shouldn't Joe Biden? All right, so we don't have to tolerate that now. But interestingly, Barack Obama sat down with Fox News twice before the Super Bowls during his time in office. So in the 8 years he was in office, there's that darn lightning again. The 8 years he was in office, he did interviews with Fox twice before the Super Bowl. You know, personally, I don't know why Fox wants to interview the president, but maybe it will provide them with some more humorous clips that they can show on the Tucker Carlson show or Sean Hannity or something of that nature. Or even Jesse Waters. Jesse Waters is actually fairly humorous. I enjoy watching Jesse Waters when I'm home early enough to catch him. He's not quite as abrasive as Tuxer. You've seen that show, Tucker Carlson? But you know, I like Tucker Carlson's show too. So anybody out there that hates Tucker Carlson, you know, you can probably think bad things of me because I do like Tucker Carlson. It's a little weird that he laughs the way he does sometimes. It's almost like he's a teenager, but hey, he's having fun with it, I guess. And if that's a natural laugh, if we got a vice president of the United States that cackles like some wild turkey, I guess it's okay that Tucker Carlson and a talk show host can cackle when he wants to, when he feels the mood. So everything's right with the world now. Joe Biden is actually going to do the interview tomorrow night before the Super Bowl airs. I'm not really sure what time that comes on, but I think, what time? They don't say what time the interview is. So, you know, but most of you won't care anything about it. I'm sure you'll see many a clip afterwards. I don't know how they're going to prepare him for an interview on Fox. Maybe there's got to be some requirements that they only talk about football. Who knows? And we all know that Joe Biden knows a lot about football. All right, so that was the only political thing that I'm going to talk about tonight. How about that? I had some other things that I could have thrown in there, but, you know, I've enjoyed the other, and I just don't want to ruin it by talking about some of these other things. I actually had some Twitter clips that I wanted to share with you since I wasn't able to do the show Thursday night, which is when I like to do Thursday tweets. But I'll save them for next week's show, or maybe I'm sure there'll be some that I'll enjoy more than the ones that I was going to use. So that'll do it for tonight, Saturday night. Let's see. I wonder if I could play. Did I have something else up there that I could do? There is actually a couple of other songs there that I had. And of course, I can't play enough of them. Let's see. Let's see if you can guess the name of this one. And it's not much of a contest because I can't see anybody answering anything, obviously, because I'm not live and there's no screen. But when I start doing live shows, I'll do something similar to this and see if any of you can guess the name of some of these songs and type it in or call in or whatever. But here's another one that was on that list that I didn't use tonight. Just going to play a short segment here. See if you can guess the name of this song and band. Okay, I'm not going to go any further because they're going to get into saying the name of the song. Some of these people they feel the need to tell the name of the song in the first line of the lyrics, but so that I don't have the timeline when this song came out, but I think it was also in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken. And you know the name of the song? It's Rocksteady by The Whispers. I don't know how many songs they put out either, but I actually have it on a playlist now. All those songs that I'm using tonight is on a playlist that I like to play these things in my car because I cannot stand to listen to commercial radio anymore because I even, yeah, there's, I hardly find a station that actually plays what I want to listen to. Do you have that? Anybody else have that problem? And, you know, I have the service that I pay for. You know, I pay several hundred dollars a year, you know, to play the kind of music that I want to hear. And most of it's commercial free, unless you listen to the comedy stations or something like that, or the political stations. But I rarely hear anything that I want to hear. You know, the millions of songs out there. So I create my own playlist on Spotify, and I usually just stream that through my radio in my car as I'm making my trips, you know, from point A to point B. I mean, here's one. This one is, I think anybody that's over 30 years old probably knows this song. Now, I can't go any further because they also give the name of the song in this one. I'll tell you the name of the group. It's The Time, the same people that did the dance song, The Bird. But what's the name of that song? Anybody know? Anybody know the name of that song? Let's see if it kicks in right here. Is it coming to you? All right, Jungle Love, if you got that one. They don't say it as loud as I thought they did, but let's see. Is there another one there that would be worth throwing in there? Well, I like, is it, what did I do? me see. This one. Hey, we're about to say it. It's not on the same level as those others I played. This one's all right. This group is KC and the Sunshine Band, but the name of the song is Boogie Shoes. All right, I'm through with that. I've hit my 1 hour here, and I'm going to call it quits. I won't subject you to any more of those old musical favorites of mine, my list. But let me scroll past all this stuff here that I'm not going to do tonight. I'm not even going to do a closing quote tonight. I almost said closing tweet. Can you imagine? What did I do with everything? Did I erase everything here? Well, I guess I did erase a few things. So that's it for tonight, for a Saturday night, February the 11th, 2023. I was actually eased on into Sunday morning now. So I need to get a little sleep because I'll be up late watching that game tomorrow night and all those commercials. But I appreciate you spending time, if you have, listening to this podcast tonight. It wasn't politics, and I hope those of you who were expecting politics aren't that disappointed. I gotta have fun every once in a while, and this is about the only way I know to have it. When I'm by myself, I don't have anybody to carry on with and play jokes on. So, but hopefully you like some of the stuff that you heard tonight, and maybe a little bit of news about some of these old songs that maybe you weren't aware of. And I know you had to appreciate those Super Bowl songs, right? With the names in them. But check out that video of the Super Bowl Shuffle by the Chicago Bears. Almost said Bulls, the Chicago Bears in 1985, but you can find it on YouTube. It's kind of interesting. So, if you like tonight's episode, please hit the like or follow button on whatever source you're using to listen to this podcast. And if you like Trash Talk, I would seriously appreciate your subscribing to the podcast, because it's going to grow, and it's actually, you know, I'm just spreading my wings here, and hopefully I'm going to do a lot of things that you'll find interesting in the next several months. But be sure to check out Trash Talk on Facebook. I was trying to post some stuff the other day, and for some reason or other, it would not let me post the items that I wanted to post. So I'm trying, folks. I'll try again tomorrow before the Super Bowl game. I have a few things that I want to put on the Facebook page for Trash Talk, but it's just not. It's probably me. It's probably not Facebook. They're probably not rejecting it. I'm having technical difficulties, which I am known for. But you can also follow me on Twitter at TriceTalkWGMoon. And I did not post anything today, but I posted a number of things this past week. Usually I'm responding and retweeting something somebody else had started, because that's usually what draws my attention. Also, if you have family and friends, if you have any friends at all that enjoy listening to podcasts, please tell them about Trice Talk. I can use all the friends I can get. And, you know, if they're not super liberal or anything, maybe they can listen to Trice Talk and maybe find a little avenue towards maybe they can find out that Republicans aren't that bad after all. Who knows? But ask them to give it a try. If you want to comment on anything that you hear on this show, which there's probably nothing tonight that you could comment on unless you like the music, but you can send me an email at tristalk69pts@gmail.com. That's tristalk69pts@gmail.com. So I've had fun tonight. Actually, the time went by rather fast for me. Now I'm trying to find my closer. And since I'm out of my normal place here, I'm trying to find that and still not have white noise. So until next time, please pay attention to what's going on in your neighborhoods, in your city, in your state, and certainly in our country. And please get involved, because after all, we are the solution. Stay safe, everybody.